All right. Welcome in and welcome back to the Running Hoops podcast, brought to you by Super Chicks, the home of the Last True Chicken Sandwich. Visit their website online for their menu and locations at superchicks.com. And remember, it's chicks with an X.com. On this episode, the Running Utes' third signee out of the transfer portal, Zach Keller, jumps on the podcast to discuss his commitment to Utah and much, much more. We've got a mailbag question to get to. And as I amend my intro here, we've also got some breaking news to get to. We'll do that at the end of the episode. Plus, we've got some Craigslist updates and much, much more. But first, I wanted to remind you to follow the podcast over on X at Runnin' Hoops. You can rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Hey, we were the number 64 podcast last week in Canada. So we're doing some good work north of the border. Or maybe it's Mason Madsen. Maybe Mason Madsen's got a bunch of friends up there in the great white north. But anyway, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And of course, you can support our NIL efforts over on Venmo at Runnin' Hoops. Those NIL funds go directly into the players' pockets. I've got another player from the women's side of things lined up to join the podcast here in the next couple of weeks, so you won't want to miss that. But yes, you can support the program over on Venmo at Runnin' Hoops. Okay, so before we get to Zach Keller, I wanted to get to a couple of things. And right off the bat, I'm going to answer a mailbag question that I got. This comes to me from Steve in Ogden. He says, Andrew, not sure what Craig's relationship with his players is really like. He seems to be a positive guy courtside, unlike some coaches I've seen that truly berate their players. However, we've seen some strain in relationships with certain players like Dusan Mohorcic and Mike Saunders, to name a few. Combine those obvious player conflicts with this year's mass defection, and I would say we have a pattern. Not sure if the coaching defections are also related or possibly a symptom of a wider spread relationship problem. To say these recent defections are unsettling is an understatement. I've hit the panic button, and I'm wondering if Mark Harlan is ready to do the same. Would love to hear your insight on these issues in an upcoming episode. Cheers and go Utes. Well, thank you for the email, Steve. So I think there are a couple of things at play here. When it comes to player-coach relationships, it's never a one-size-fits-all situation, right? With Dusan Mohorcic in particular, I think just about everybody associated with the program would tell you that he was a high-risk, high-reward type player, with the high risk being a big-time factor there. I mean, you remember he came in pretty late in the process. You know, they were a little bit desperate to fill out the roster at the time. I'm not sure he ended up being a great guy in the locker room, especially when he was out with his injury, from what I'm told. You know, his attitude just wasn't great. Now, Mike Saunders is a different story. That's one I think you have to put on both the player and the coach, because both spoke so glowingly of each other in the lead up to the season. Mike told me that Craig flew to Indianapolis to seal the deal with him, and that Craig was one of the big reasons why he elected to come to Utah in the first place. Now, Craig likewise was positive and optimistic about Mike all the way through camp, calling him, you know, Dash from the Incredibles, and really, really propping him up. But then the season comes around and he struggled to find minutes, right? So obviously, you know, he leaves after one season with Craig and the Ute. So, you know, you sort of sit there and you say, well, what the heck happened there? And look, I think when you bring a player in as a coach in 2024, in this day and age, you have an obligation to do everything that you can to make it work. Now, we don't know. We flat don't know what effort was made with Mike Saunders. But then again, that's on both parties to try and make it work, right? And I think that Craig Smith is just very old school in his approach to coaching. And that doesn't mean that he doesn't have good relationships with his players. I just think he's very old school, right? Let's harken back to Craig's favorite movie here for a second, Miracle.
Take a good look, gentlemen. Because they're the ones getting off easy. We're putting a few of you on reserve in case somebody gets injured or their game goes to hell. Final roster will have 20 names on it in 7 months, so more of you are going home. You give 99%, you'll make my job very, very easy. I'll be your coach. I won't be your friend. If you need one of those, take it up with Doc or Coach Patrick here.
I'll be your coach. I won't be your friend. I think that's Craig's attitude. Now, in 2024, is that the right approach? I mean, it hasn't yielded an NCAA tournament yet, and fans are getting restless, but it has yielded an increase in wins over, you know, year over year in Craig Smith's 3 years at Utah. So there is that. I also feel like we are kind of back to where the discussion was, you know, in the last couple of years of, you know, Larry's era, where we'd hear how mean Larry was and how he was driving players away. But if you dig deep into every situation, which I know people don't want to do, I know that people don't like context when it comes to these defections, you'll see that there were reasons as to why every player left during the Larry era. And yeah, Larry probably was a piece of it, but he wasn't the whole thing. Which then takes us to this offseason, where Utah has lost Davon Smith, Will Exact, Luka Tarlak, Raleigh Wooster, and Cabe Akata. In each of those cases, those guys are leaving for their own reasons. And yes, a relationship with Craig may be part of the reason as to why they're leaving. But again, talk to the Madsen brothers, Keanu Dawes, Brandon Carlson, and my guest today, Zach Keller. And I think you'll see that Craig also has plenty of players that are willing to vouch for him as well. I mean, you go back to the Mason Madsen interview from last week and how he talked about when, you know, when Chris Burgess left the program and then Cabe Akata left the program, and he texted Craig Smith and was like, I got you. I got your back. And so I think my biggest takeaway from the defections this season is that both sides need to be committed to making it work. Now, does that mean that Craig needs to alter his approach? Almost certainly it does. But I think the players also have to be really, really careful here about who they listen to, because I'm not so sure that some of these agents and the people that these players are getting in their ear and allowing them to influence them, I'm not sure they've got their best interests in mind. And that's kind of where I land on these defections and player exits and relationships and things like that. Do I think it could improve? Yes, I do. But I also think that Craig's got plenty of guys that are willing to stand up and vouch for him as well. But great question, Steve in Ogden. Thank you for that. You can always email me at acrowley42@gmail.com or DM me at Runnin' Hoops on X and let me know what you think and whether or not you want me to address something specific on the podcast. So once again, thank you for that question. Now, speaking of potential players into the program, a couple of Craigslist, hashtag Craigslist updates for you. On Sunday, the Twitter account The Portal Scoop tweeted that Utah had reached out to UT Martin transfer Issa Muhammad, a 6'9", 245-pound forward who averaged 11 points and 9.4 boards last season for the Skyhawks. I believe he is a senior, so he would be a one-year guy. Now, back on May 10th, Jeff Borzello tweeted that Utah was in the final three for San Francisco transfer Mike, oh boy, we're going to really push my limits here, Shiravimants, who goes by the nickname Mongolian Mike, which you just got to love that. But we're going to go with Mongolian Mike here. He's a 6'8 wing who averaged 7.7 points and 3 boards this past season and shot 42% from the field and 36% from the three. He had several double-digit games at San Francisco this past season and is a bit of a sensation. So he's definitely an intriguing prospect, that's for sure. Illinois and St. Mary's are also in the mix as well. And then another guy to keep an eye on would be Tyree Iheanacho. He's been at JMU in North Dakota and was committed to Wyoming before Coach Jeff Linder left to be an assistant at Texas Tech. Iheanacho averaged 14.5 points per game last year for North Dakota and 5 boards, shooting 40% from the field. I wanted to mention a couple of things about the assistant positions at Utah here as well. As with most of this stuff, there's a lot of cloak and dagger going on behind the scenes, and names are few and far between. But I wanted to discuss Jeff Linder leaving Wyoming for a second because I think there may be a domino effect here and just another thing that could ultimately change the landscape of college basketball. Linder was the head coach at Northern Colorado for 4 years and then at Wyoming for 4 years, coaching in the Mountain West, which everyone tells me was the best league in college basketball last year. He had a record of 143-109 in 8 years as a head coach, but he's leaving Wyoming to take an assistant coaching gig under Grant McCaslin at Texas Tech, and that's now one of Utah's new conference foes. So they're going to see Coach Linder here on the sidelines. But this got me thinking, like, is this something that we're going to start seeing in college hoops? Like, will coaches look to take Power 5 assistant jobs over head coaching jobs at smaller schools with little to no NIL? And if Utah could target a small school coach, who should they target? I'd love a guy like Mike Magpio from UC Riverside, though I don't think he has a connection to Utah or Craig Smith or even Stan Johnson, the pride of Taylorsville High School, over at Loyola Marymount. But, I mean, he's killing it at Loyola Marymount, so I think he's going to be up for a head coaching job here sooner rather than later at the Power 5 level. Anyways, it's fun to think about. So Wyoming ended up hiring Sundance Wicks from Green Bay, killer name, by the way, and Green Bay ended up hiring Doug Gottlieb, who is apparently going to get to continue his radio show with Fox. So what's next? UCSB hiring Jim Rome? Rack 'em, right? I bring this up because when Linder left Wyoming, one of the Cowboy assistants, Ken DeWeese, was being really propped up and endorsed by a number of college basketball media, and now he's available all of a sudden. And so I find Ken DeWeese to be kind of an intriguing option here for Utah, you know, especially with a Wyoming commit back in the portal and with Wyoming players now having a window to jump in the portal. So who knows, maybe DeWeese is a possibility. No inside information on that one, just sort of a, you know, somebody that interests me. I'll say that, that's out there. And then another name that we continue to hear talked about is Barrett Peary at UNLV. The problem with Barrett Peary is that he keeps tweeting about how great it is to be a Rebel. So he's either fantastic at smoke screens or he's not a viable candidate for the assistant coaching job at Utah anymore. Either way, it's going to be interesting to see how all of this unfolds here in the next couple of weeks for Craig Smith and for Utah. But there are certainly guys that are out there that can certainly help this program, that's for sure. And yes, I am aware, well aware, of the rumblings out there of a prominent alumni that is also potentially in the mix for a job with the Running Utes. But I'm going to leave that one to our good buddy Steve Bartle and others who have done some reporting on that. And I will comment on anything that happens if and when it happens. But for now, I think we're going to leave it right there on the assistant coaching front. All right, when we come back, Zach Keller will be my guest right after these words from one of our sponsors. Hey, everyone. Well, now that Mother's Day is firmly in the rearview mirror, it's time to celebrate the real heroes, fathers. And what better gift for a father than a stylish, functional, cool t-shirt from Flyfit Tees? With a blend of ring-spun cotton and polyester, it's the perfect gift for Dad for Father's Day as we round the corner here into the summer months. Your t-shirt game is going to want to be on point. Listeners of this podcast can get 30% off their first order by entering the promo code RUNNINHOOPS at checkout or by going directly to flyfittees.com/RUNNINHOOPS to get Dad that stylish, good-looking t-shirt. He's going to be the talk of the pool. I'm just telling you right now, that website for you again, flyfittees.com/RUNNINHOOPS.
Keller from the corner. He's been money tonight in his first start.
How about Zach Keller? 2 for 3 outside the arc.
Had only played 4 minutes on the season. Gets his first start and it's paying dividends.
All right, my guest today was Utah's third signee out of the transfer portal and is another name that should be familiar to Utah fans as the Running Utes previously recruited him 2 years ago. He also faced Utah this past season in the Charleston Classic at Wake Forest, where he had 10 points and 5 boards, but he's now on our side. Running Utes forward Zach Keller. Zach, thanks for joining me. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
I mentioned this to Keanu Dawes when I had him on the podcast, but it was a dark day here on the podcast when you chose Wake Forest over Utah. So we're glad to have you on the right side of that choice this time.
I appreciate it.
So do you remember much about that game against the Utes? I know it was 3 games in 4 days, but does anything jump out to you about that game or your performance or the team?
I think that's probably one of the better games I had all season. It was great because I knew Lawson and Jake were on the team, so it's kind of great to play against people I was familiar with out there in the game.
What made Utah the right place for you this time around?
I mean, so obviously the first time around is between Utah and Wake Forest, and so what kind of things didn't line up at Wake Forest, like going to the portal, and Utah reached out. It was already a place I was already familiar with. I was really good with coaching staff. I was familiar with Utah as a state because I was out there for 3 summers. Immediately was like, you know what, this is probably one of the better choices to go with.
How much of a factor was the relationship with Craig Smith, having recruited you before, in your decision this time around?
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge factor. Compared to if it was a completely new coach and coach I'm more familiar with, I'm going to side with the person I'm more familiar with in the first place because I already have the established relationship, and so it's just easier to go from there.
You spent the last 2 seasons at Wake Forest playing in a loaded front court with guys like Afton Reed, Andrew Carr, Matthew Marsh. What did you learn about yourself these last 2 seasons at Wake?
I learned how to defend in the post, for one. I was always commented on how good of a, we call it chest blasting, defending the post. So I was always commented on that. But just overall, learning how to use my quickness against bigger guys was kind of my strength. And being able to use on the post and from the outside. So just being able to pick up tips and tricks from Andrew and then from learning from Evan as well.
What would you say your biggest challenge was at Wake Forest these last 2 seasons?
I'd say finding a role on the team. Obviously, I was recruited there to be a four, and things changed. I was put to the center, not my natural position, but it was a learning curve for sure. So yeah, and just going from there, and now coming to Utah, actually being able to play my as a forward. I mean, I'm excited.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. So you prefer to play the four versus the five? So you feel like you're coming in here as a power forward versus like a center going up against Lawson in practice every day?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind playing the five. It's just I don't think I have the frame for a center, especially in Big 12 Conference. There's some pretty good centers out there. But, yeah, that's just kind of how it went awake.
So for those fans that may be, you know, a little bit unfamiliar with your game, obviously you mentioned you had, you know, kind of a tough time getting on the court. But what can you tell us about your strengths and your style of play? And is there a comp or, you know, somebody that you kind of try to, you know, model your game after?
I didn't show up a whole lot in the games I was in. I did get to start a couple games, but I'm a forward who can play inside, outside, pass, I can drive, and so I'm very unselfish. I think that's why I'm sometimes a little too unselfish. I guess someone I kind of follow, I mean, obviously I'm from Denver, so I kind of follow Jokic, obviously the MVP. He's a great player to watch. And then I also looked at, like, Jimmy Butler, like, a Dennis Rodman, just because they give their all every time on the court, and that's what I like to do.
That's right. I think your banner up on your Twitter page is Dennis Rodman diving for a ball.
Yeah, and it's with the captions, give it your all. So every time on the court, practice, game, I try to give it everything I have.
Do you prefer to play with your back to the basket, or are you more of a step-out-and-shoot guy?
I'd say more step out and shoot, but I do have the ability to play back to the basket. It's just, if I need to, I can go against a mismatch or create for another team on the inside, or I can drive and shoot from the outside.
Yeah, so the audio clip that I brought you in on was your highlight against Utah where you guys drive down and you just kind of very slowly kind of leak out there to the three-point line. The big is still in the paint and you just knock down a three. And so you've got that ability, definitely.
In the game, I noticed that the bigs that are guarding kind of like pulled over too far to the help side. So I was like, I'm just gonna leak out to the backside, see if I can get open three. And it worked a couple times.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why they didn't. do that more with you last year at Wake Forest.
You know, same question.
So you played with Lawson Lovering and Jake Wallin on the Utah prospects. How do you think having played with those guys is going to help your transition to Utah?
I thought it was great. They were the team above me, so most of the time it was me playing against them, which was pretty bad. I was a 15-year-old, like barely 6'7", going against Lawson. He hit my butt like every day. But I think it'd be great. I already know like their style of plays, and so we already had that relationship, so it'd be great to continue the relationship we have.
How do you, as an incoming player, handle kind of all of the noise that's surrounding the Utah program right now? You've got two assistant coaches' jobs open. You got some fan negativity on social media. Is that something you pay attention to, or do you just kind of focus on yourself and getting ready to join the team?
I mean, just getting ready to join the team. There's always going to be positive and negative noise wherever you go on social media. Most of the time, social media is a lot more negative, so just being able to block out the noise and just focus on the team, the program, and what's happening. I mean, I'm excited, even though there's two openings in the coaching staff, I'm excited for whoever they bring in, and I can't wait to meet them and work with them. But I'm just focusing on getting ready for the upcoming season.
What's one thing that you want to work on as you get ready to head to Salt Lake City?
Definitely, because I will have the chance to handle the ball, so obviously ball handling, consistency in shooting, and just overall consistency.
What would your message be to the fans as you kind of start this journey at the University of Utah, other than, you know, I'm sorry I didn't come the first time and I went to Winston-Salem instead?
I know. I'm here now. I'm excited. And I can't wait to meet all the fans and get ready to go on this journey with everybody.
I'll get you out of here on this one then. What number are you hoping to wear with the Running Utes? Keanu Dawes told me he's got 8 locked down. Mason Madsen's looking at 45. So where are you at? Are you 25 again, or are you looking at something else?
2025 was a bad chapter, so I'm trying to go away from that. I don't know yet. I've tried to get 32. That's the number I wore in high school and club and all, like, my whole life. If not, 12. So I'm hoping 32. If not, I'm going to go for 12, and we'll see what happens from there.
All right. Well, Zach, fans can follow you on X at ZachKeller19. Thanks so much for joining me. Best of luck as you get ready to head up to Utah here next month. And all the best this upcoming season with the Utes.
All right, thank you so much. I'm excited. Can't wait for the season to start.
All right, my thanks to Zach Keller for jumping on the podcast. Let me play one thing here for you on Zach. This was his coach at Wake Forest, Steve Forbes, talking about Zach heading into last season. I'm going to warn you, the audio isn't great, so I apologize for that, but here you go. Take a listen to this.
I thought Zach shot the ball really well. Some, especially from three. He was one of the leaders on the team. He's a hard-playing guy. He's got better and better this summer off the bounce. Played with a lot more patience with his back to the basket. And I look for him again to continue on this apex that he's on right now when we get back.
And then the highlights showed Zach making a bunch of threes and dunks. So I think that is what we can expect here when he gets on campus at the U. Just a hard-playing Craig Smith kind of guy. And I don't think we've even seen the beginning of what Zach Keller could be at the University of Utah. And you heard him say he's coming in to play the 4 and some 5, but largely the 4. So it'll be interesting to see how that all goes. But again, my thanks to Zach Keller for jumping on the podcast here. 3 items of breaking news here to finish up the podcast. And I'm going to give you a timestamp so that you know that it's breaking news, even though you'll listen to it after I've reported it. First, per his Instagram, former Running Utes guard forward Luca Tarlak is heading to Cal Poly. That is probably the least impactful piece of breaking news that we have. Second, Utah Director of Basketball Operations Curran Walsh is taking an assistant coaching position at the University of Denver. So the Running Utes will now have a Director of Basketball Operations job available as well. And then the big one, breaking news per source, the Running Utes are set to hire Sacramento State assistant coach Lauren Lowe, he goes by Lowe, Laith, as one of their assistant coaches on Craig Smith's staff for the upcoming season. Laith spent the last 2 seasons at Sacramento State as an assistant coach, and he has ties to the Oakland Soldiers AAU basketball program, which has produced a number of really talented guys, including guys like Scottie Pippen Jr., Christian Coloco, and so many others. So Laith heading to the Hill to be an assistant coach for Craig Smith this upcoming season. That is breaking news here as of about 7 p.m. on Tuesday, May 14th. So again, there's your timestamp. Lo Laith going to be one of the new assistant coaches at Utah. Remember who told you. But that is going to do it for this episode of the Running Hoops podcast. I want to thank you as always for listening. Please give me a follow over on X at Running Hoops. Please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and support our NIL efforts over on Venmo at Running Hoops. But until next time, I'm Andrew Crowley. This is the Running Hoops podcast. And as always, go Utes.